Ayrım 12.
Now is the time when those who wish to continue the quest must harden their hearts to leave this land.
I have looked into their hearts. They have all resolved to go forward.
As for me, my way home lies forward and not back.
But is all this company going with you to Minas Tirith?
We have not decided our course.
Yet when you leave this land, you can no longer forget the great river. On which side will you journey? The way to Minas Tirith lies upon this side, upon the west. But the straight road of the quest to Mordor lies east of the river, upon the darker shore. Which shore will you now take?
If my advice is heeded, it'll be the western shore and the way to Minas Tirith. But I am not the leader of the company.
I see that you do not yet know what to do. It is not my part to choose for you, but I will help you as I may. I will furnish the company with boats. They must be small and light, for if you go far by water, there are places where you will be forced to carry them. Yet they will not give you counsel. In the end, you must leave them and the river, and turn west or east.
In the morning, as they were beginning to pack their slender goods, elves came to them and brought them many gifts of food and clothing for the journey. The food was mostly in the form of very thin cakes.
Mmm! Crab!
No more, no more!
You have eaten enough already for a long day's march.
I thought it was only a kind of cram, such as the Dale men make for journeys in the wild.
So it is, but we call it lembas or whey bread, and it is more strengthening than any food made by men.
And these will serve you for your protection on the journey that lies ahead.
Are these magic cloaks?
I do not know what you mean by that. They are elvish robes, certainly. You will find them a great aid in keeping out of the sight of unfriendly eyes, whether you walk among the stones or the trees. You are indeed high in the favor of the Lady Galadriel, for she herself and her maidens wove this stuff.
She is most gracious.
It is time for us all to go to the great river. The hour is come when you must take your leave of us.
I have brought you gifts in memory of Lothlórien. Aragorn, here is a sheath for Anduril, your sword. The blade that is drawn from this sheath shall not be stained or broken, even in defeat. But is there aught else that you desire of me at our parting? For darkness will now flow between us, and it may be that we shall not meet again, unless it be far hence upon a road that has no returning.
Lady, you know all my desire, and long held in keeping the only treasure I seek. Yet it is not yours to give me, even if you would, and only through darkness shall I come to it.
Yet maybe this will lighten your heart, for it was left in my care to be given to you, should you pass through this land. This stone I gave to Celebrion, my daughter, and she to her daughter Arwen. And now it comes to you as a token of hope. In this hour, take the name that was foretold for you, Elessar, the Elfstone of the House of Elendil.
Galadriel turned then to Boromir, and to him she gave a belt of gold. And to Merry and Pippin she gave small silver belts, each with a clasp wrought like a golden flower. To Legolas she gave a bow, such as the Galadrim use.
For you, Sam Gamgee, I have a small gift. Here on this little box is set G for Galadriel, but also it may stand for garden in your tongue. The box contains earth from my orchard. It will not keep you on your road, nor defend you against any peril. But if you keep it and see your home again at last, then perhaps it may reward you. Though you should find all barren and laid waste, there will be few gardens in Middle-earth that will bloom like your garden, if you sprinkle this earth there. Then may you remember Galadriel, and catch a glimpse far off of Lórien, that you have seen only in our winter. For our spring and summer are gone by, and they will never be seen on earth again, save in memory. And what gift would a dwarf ask of the elves?
None, lady. It is enough for me to have seen the Lady of the Galadrim, and to have heard her gentle words.
Yet surely, Gimli, son of Glóin, you desire something that I could give. Name it, I bid you. You shall not be the only guest without a gift.
There is nothing, nothing, unless it be... unless it is permitted to ask, nay, to name a single strand of your hair, which surpasses the gold of the earth as the stars surpass the gems of the mine.
It is said that the skill of the dwarves is in their hands rather than in their tongues. Yet that is not true of Gimli. For none have ever made me a request so bold and yet so courteous. But tell me, what would you do with such a gift?
Treasure it, lady, in memory of your words to me at our first meeting. And if ever I return to the smithies of my home, it shall be set in imperishable crystal to be an heirloom of my house and a pledge of goodwill between the mountains and the wood until the end of days.
These words shall go with a gift. I do not foretell, for all foretelling is now in vain. On the one hand lies darkness, and on the other only hope. But if hope should not fail, then I say to you, Gimli, son of Glóin, that your hand shall flow with gold, and yet over you gold shall have no dominion. And you, ring-bearer, I come to you last, who are not last in my thoughts. For you I have prepared this phial. In it is caught the light of Eärendil's star, set amid the waters of my fountain. It will shine still brighter when night is about you. May it be a light to you in dark places, when all other lights are out. Remember Galadriel and her mirror.
A yellow noon lay on the green land, and the water glittered with silver. The company took their places in the boats, and the elves of Lórien with long grey poles thrust them out into the flowing stream, and the rippling waters bore them slowly away.
Last upon that which was fairest. Henceforward I will call nothing fair unless it be her gift. Tell me, Legolas, why did I come on this quest? Little did I know where the chief peril lay. Torment in the dark was the danger that I feared, and it did not hold me back. But I would not have come had I known the danger of light. And joy. Now I have taken my worst wound in this parting.
I count you blessed, Gimli, son of Glóin. For your loss, you suffer of your own free will. And you might have chosen to remain. But you have not forsaken your companions. And the least reward that you shall have is that the memory of Lothlórien shall remain ever clear and unstained in your heart.
Memory is not what the heart desires. That is only a mirror. Or so says the heart of Gimli the dwarf. Boat!
Hmm?
She's too low in the water with all this baggage, and the great river is swift. I do not wish to drown my grief in cold water. Give me that paddle.
For 4 days, the company travelled down the great river, Anduin. The dull grey hours passed without event. The lands changed slowly. The trees thinned, and then failed altogether. They camped at night on a small island close to the western bank.
Mr. Frodo, are you still awake?
Just about, Sam.
Mr. Frodo, I had a funny dream an hour or two before we stopped. Or maybe it wasn't a dream. Funny it was, anyway. I saw a log with eyes. At first I thought it was just an ordinary log, floating along behind Gimli's boat. Then it seemed as if the log was slowly catching us up. Then I saw the eyes. Two pale sort of points, shiny like on a hump at the near end of the log. What's more, it wasn't a log, for it had paddle feet. That's when I sat right up and rubbed my eyes, meaning to give a shout if it was still there when I'd rubbed the drowse out of my head. But whether those two lamps spotted me moving and staring, or whether I came to my senses, I don't know. When I looked again, it wasn't there. Well, what do you make of it, Mr. Frodo?
I should make nothing of it, Sam, if it was the first time that those eyes had been seen, but it isn't. I saw them back north before we reached Lorien, and in the tree by the silver load. And I have often thought that I heard the sound of feet pattering behind us.
I don't want to disturb you, Mr. Frodo, but thinking of one thing and another, and Mr. Bilbo's stories and all, I fancy I could put a name on that creature, at a guess. A nasty name. Gollum, maybe.
Yes. That is what I have feared for some time. A miserable creature must have been hiding in the woods by the river, watching us start off.
Yes, that's about it. And we'd better be a bit more watchful ourselves, or we'll feel some nasty fingers round our necks one of these nights, if we ever wake up to feel anything.
Yes.
I'll keep watch tonight.
All right, sir.
The night passed, without Gollum showing so much as a shadow again. Now the company journeyed mostly by night and twilight, resting by day and lying as hidden as the land allowed, always keeping watch for bands of marauding orcs. On the ninth day, they reached the impassable rapids of San Gabir, and they carried their boats along the bank until they came to a wide ravine, which narrowed in the distance to a chasm with cliffs rising to an unimaginable height on either side.
The gates of Morgannath! Have we passed by the rapids of San Gabir to perish here?
Fear not. The water is swiftly flowing, but it is clear. Long have I desired to look upon this place, to see those two great pinnacles of stone. Those are the pillars of the kings. Keep the boats in line and hold the middle of the stream.
They have been shaped into the figures of kings.
They are the likenesses of Isildur and Anarion, my sires of old. Under their shadow, we have naught to fear.
What a place! What a horrible place! Just let me get out this boat and I'll never wet my toes in a puddle again, let alone a river.
But suddenly, the boats shot through the chasm, out into a wider, clearer sky. They came into a long oval lake, and at the far southern end rose three mountain peaks. Wilderland was behind them. They could go no further without choice between the east way and the west.
The day has come at last, the day of choice which we have long delayed. What shall now become of our company that has travelled so far in fellowship? Shall we turn west with Boromir and go to the wars in Gondor, or shall we turn east to the fear and shadow? Or shall we break our fellowship and go this way and that, as each may choose? Whatever we do must be done soon. We cannot long halt here. The enemy is on the eastern shore, we know, but I fear that the orcs may already be on this side of the river.
I shall go to Minas Tirith alone, if need be, for it is my duty. If you only wish to destroy the ring, then there's little use in war and weapons, and the men of Minas Tirith cannot help. But if you wish to destroy the armored might of the Dark Lord, then it is folly to go without force into his domain, and folly to throw it away.
What do you mean?
I mean, it would be folly to throw lives away. It is a choice between defending a strong place and walking openly into the arms of death.
Be that as it may, I fear that the burden of decision is laid upon you, Frodo. You are the bearer appointed by the council. Your own way you alone can choose. In this matter, I cannot advise you. I am not Gandalf, and though I have tried to bear his part, I do not know what design or hope he had for this hour, if indeed he had any.
I know that haste is needed, yet I cannot choose. Oh, the burden is heavy. Give me an hour longer, and I will speak. Let me be alone.
Very well. But do not stray far, or out of call.
Frodo wandered aimlessly at first, but found that his feet were leading him up towards the slope of a hill. He came to a path, the dwindling ruins of a road of long ago. For some while he climbed, not caring which way he went, until he came to a grassy place. Rowan trees grew about it, and in the midst was a wide, flat stone.
I was afraid for you, Frodo.
Boromir.
If Aragorn is right and the orcs are near, then none of us should wander alone, and you least of all. So much depends on you. And my heart is heavy, too. May I stay now and talk for a while? since I found you. It would comfort me.
Yes.
Where there are so many, all speech becomes a debate without end. Two together may perhaps find wisdom.
You're kind. But I do not think that any speech will help me, for I know what I should do. But I'm afraid of doing it, Boromir. I am afraid.
Are you sure that you do not suffer needlessly?
Hmm?
I wish to help you. You need counsel in your hard choice. Will you not take mine?
I think I know already what counsel you would give, Boromir. To go with you to Gondor. But the world is changing. The walls of Minas Tirith may be strong, but they are not strong enough. If they fail, what then?
We shall fall in battle valiantly. Yet there is still hope that they will not fail.
No hope while the ring lasts.
The ring. Is it not a strange fate that we should suffer so much fear and doubt for so small a thing? So small a thing. And I've seen it only for an instant in the House of Elrond. Could I not have a sight of it again?
It is best that it should lie hidden.
Oh, as you wish. I care not. Yet may I not even speak of it. The world is changing, you say. Minas Tirith will fall if the ring lasts. But why? Why, if it were with us?
Were you not at the council, Boromir? Because we cannot use it, and what is done with it turns to evil.
So they have told you, Gandalf, Elrond, and the rest. But we of Minas Tirith are not elves or dwarves, we are men. We do not desire the powers of wizard lords, only strength to defend ourselves, strength in a just cause. In our need, chance brings to light the ring of power. It is mad not to use it, to use the power of the enemy against him. What could not a warrior do in this hour, a great leader? The ring would give me power of command. How I would drive the hosts of Mordor, and all men would flock to my banner. Surely you see it, my friend. You say that you are afraid. If it is so, the boldest should pardon you. But is it not really your good sense that revolts?
No. I am afraid, simply afraid. But I am glad to have heard you speak so fully, Boromir. My mind is clearer now.
Then you'll come to Minas Tirith?
You misunderstand me.
Will you not at least let me make trial of my plan?
No.
Lend me the ring.
No. The council laid it upon me to bear it.
If any mortals have claim to the ring, it is the men of Numenor and not halflings. It is not yours save by unhappy chance. It might have been mine. It should be mine. Give it to me.
No, Boromir!
Why not be free of it? You can lay the blame on me if you will. You can say that I was too strong and took it by force. For I am too strong for you, halfling! Where are you? Where have you gone? Miserable trickster! Let me get my hands on you! Now I see your mind. You will take the ring to Sauron and sell us all. Curse you and all halflings to death and darkness. What have I said? What have I done? Frodo. A madness took me. But it has passed. Frodo! Frodo, come back! Come back! Come back! Come back! Come back!
I will do now what I must. This at least is plain. The evil of the ring is already at work, even in the company, and the ring must leave them before it does more harm. I will go alone. Some I cannot trust, and those I can trust are too dear to me. I will go alone. At once.
Boromir, where have you been? Have you seen Frodo?
Yes and no. Yes, I found him somewhere up the hill and spoke to him. I urged him to come to Minas Tirith and not to go east. I grew angry and he left me. He vanished. I've never seen such a thing happen before, though I've heard of it in tales. He must have put the ring on. I thought he would return to you.
Is that all you have to say?
Yes. I will say no more yet.
Boromir, how long is it since you saw Frodo?
Half an hour, maybe, or it might be an hour. I've wandered for some time since. I do not know. I do not know!
An hour since he vanished? Where is he?
We must find him at once. Frodo! Frodo! Frodo!
Wait a minute! Frodo! Come back! We shall all be scattered and lost! Boromir, I do not know what part you have played in this mischief, but help now. Go after those two young hobbits, and guard them at the least. Even if you cannot find Frodo, I shall return soon. Sam,
sir.
Follow me and keep your eyes open.
Yes, sir.
Frodo! Frodo!
Mr. Frodo! Mr. Frodo! Mr. Frodo, sir! Mr. Frodo! Mr. Frodo! Mr. Frodo!
No, no, steady, Sam Gendry. Your legs are too short, so use your head. Where can he have gone? Well, he can't fly across rivers. And he can't jump waterfalls. He's got to get back to the boat. Back to the boats. Back to the boats, Sam.
Like lightning.
Oh, what's that boat doing? Sliding down the bank all by itself. Oh, it's Mr. Frodo. He's put the ring on. I'm coming, Mr. Frodo. I'm coming. Well, help! Help, Mr. Frodo! I can't swim!
You can, Sam, my life! Now, take my hand! Come on!
I can't see your hand!
Oh.
Save me, Mr. Frodo! I'm drowning!
Hold on, Sam! Hold on to the boat! I'll paddle it back to the bank! Hold on! There! Now, can you touch the bottom?
Oh, thank you kindly. Mr. Frodo.
Up there.
Sam.
Of all the confounded nuisances, you are the worst. If it hadn't been for you, I would have been safely on my way.
Safely? All alone? Without me to help you? I couldn't have borne it. It would have been the death of me.
It would be the death of you to come with me, Sam. And I could not bear that. I am going to Mordor.
Oh, I know that well enough, Mr. Frodo. Of course you are. I'm coming with you. Or neither of us is going. I'll knock holes in all the boats first.
Well, leave one. We'll need it. But you can't come like this without your gear or your food or anything.
Oh, just you hold on a minute. I'll get my stuff.
I thought
we should be off today. And you know what? I've remembered what? This time, Mr. Frodo. Rope. Slender elven rope from Lothlorien.
Well, Sam, it is plain that we were meant to go together. And we will go. And may the others find a safe road. Strider will look after them. I don't suppose we shall see them again.
Yet we may, Mr. Frodo. We may.
Frodo! Frodo! Frodo, where are you? Frodo! Frodo! Frodo, where are you?
Look! There's something through the trees over there. Is that him?
Frodo? Orcs! Help! Help!
You can throw those little daggers away, my tinies. We're not going to fight you.
Then you shall fight me!
Boromir!
Get behind me, both of you!
Oh, they're coming out of the trees! There are dozens of them. Sound your horn, Boromir. Warn the others.
In episode 5 of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, adapted by Michael Bakewell, the part of Frodo was played by Ian Holm, Gandalf by Michael Horden, Aragorn by Robert Stevens, and Gollum by Peter Woodthorpe. Boromir, Michael Graham Cox. Sam, William Nye. Merry, Richard O'Callaghan. Pippin, John McAndrew. Legolas, David Collings. Gimli, Douglas Livingstone. Galadriel, Marion Diamond. Celeborn, Simon Cadell. Haldir, Hayden Wood. With Graham Faulkner, David McAllister, Martin Reed, Christopher Scott, Michael Spice, and John Webb. The narrator was Gerard Murphy. The music was composed and conducted by Stephen Oliver. The singer was David James. The director was Penny Lester.